Good morning. Today's reading is from Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak. And when he took it out, his skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak. And when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The word of God for the people of God."
Jordan, thank you very much. That was terrific. And now I wonder if you would bow your heads and pray for me and with me. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you, and I pray that you would speak through this sermon to all who are gathered, but especially to those who are entering school tomorrow and have this past week or will in the days ahead. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the first week of school last week was in Loudoun County, Fairfax County is this week, and then other schools are starting around the same time. So no matter where you are, schools are starting. We gave you these two ribbons when you came in. Did you get one of these? Get two of these? If you didn't, we'll have some more when you walk out. I'd like you to think about these ribbons as a reminder to pray. And I want you to take one and go out and to your left, you're going to see strings that we've tied out in the gathering space. Tie one of them around the string, and that's going to remind us to pray together as a church. When you walk into the church building, you're going to see those up this coming week. I want you to take the other one home. I want you to wrap it around your rearview mirror or your someplace, you know, your refrigerator, whatever it is, something that's going to remind you each day to pray for children or teachers or administrators or faculty, staff members at any school. Whether it's the preschool through the high school, or frankly, I'm praying for a college student right now in my life. I don't know if some of you have that going on too. And I would ask you to pray for kids in education. Very few things are more important in our community than the health of our schools. Is that fair? And so it's on all of us. It's our community. There are kids. And so I want to call you to pray and give you these two reminders, one to tie up here if you'll be in community with this, and the other to take home. Now, boys and girls, I want to talk about what it's like to go back to school today, and I'm hoping that your parents and the other adults can overhear it in a way that's going to apply to their lives, and I think they can. You know what I remember about school? When the first week of school came every year, you know what I wanted? Prior to the first week of school, we were always talking about getting ready for school, get ready for school, and you know what I wanted? I wanted new stuff. New stuff. I wanted new pencils, new pens, in the old days they used to get, do you still have pencil holders, pen holders? Do you still have one of those? It's like a plastic box. Do you still have this? It was the best to get that, right? And I was like, Mom, I want a new one. And I even wanted some new clothes, because I don't know if you know this, if you have brand new sneakers in gym class, you will run faster. Did you know that? That's not true, but it feels like it should be. And so I was like, my problem was I was the youngest of three sons. We were all boys. So there was a lot of boy gear in our home. And my mom used to say, "You don't need new notebooks. Your brother hardly used this notebook last year." And I'd be like, "No, you don't need new blue jeans. Your brother has these blue jeans. They put the, and so the week before the first week of school, she was laying stuff out. Did you ever have to try stuff on? We're going to try on the stuff. And I was always so disappointed. I would try to make myself either bigger or smaller. Right? I'd be like, oh, this is too big. This is too small. And my mother she is still so bright. She wasn't buying it, boys and girls. She was not buying what I was selling. She was saying, there's nothing. She would always say the same thing. Nothing wrong with those pants. Nothing wrong with those notebooks. Nothing wrong. But I thought, if I had a brand new pencil holder, if I had a brand new notebook, I thought it would kind of up my game in school. I thought that would maybe make me a little smarter or a little better. Look, you're shaking your head. You're like, that's not happening, Reverend Tom, right? You already know. What is they build this into women? My mother knew the same thing. She knew that she shook her head just like you just shook yours. And so the point is, I wasn't really needing new stuff. I needed to be more secure. And my big problem was insecurity. Now, all of us, boys and girls, all of us feel insecure from time to time, and that's just a part of it. Even kids that have all new stuff will feel insecure. Take a look at this picture, boys and girls. Look at this kid. You see him? This is a painting down at the National Gallery of Art. It's Mary Cassad's son. His name is Eddie. Look at Eddie's face, boys and girls. I know it's a little dark, but can you see it? What is Eddie's face saying to you? He's saying, Mom, do I have to wear this outfit to school? It's so painful. Look at Eddie's. Eddie's got brand new stuff, but Eddie still emotionally, what does he look like he's feeling? Bad. Insecure, bad. Yeah. Now, you've got a shirt on. Everybody see her shirt? I love her shirt. Her shirt says, awesome. That's actually what I'm trying to get everybody to believe about themselves this morning. You brought the best shirt of the day. I mean, that's the one. But look at Eddie's face. Even though Eddie's got on brand new stuff, Eddie feels, I think, a little insecure. And you know what? So does everybody else. Everybody feels a little insecure, especially when you're starting a new thing. And here's the thing I want you to know. That's not just first week of school stuff. That's life. Your parents feel insecure sometimes. I don't know if you've ever noticed when your mom or dad have a presentation to give at work. Have you ever noticed they get a little squirrely? They get a little feisty. They may be quieter. They may be a little bit more loud. They may be frustrated. That's because they're feeling the same thing you might be feeling this week. Everybody has that. There's only one person that didn't feel insecure. There's only one character I've ever seen who was never insecure, and I've watched him many times. I don't know if you've ever watched him. He's an older character. His name is, do you know this guy? Goofy. His name's Goofy. You know Goofy too. And Goofy is never insecure, even though he's really what? He's really Goofy. Goofy is 100% Goofy, and Goofy is the only person who doesn't know that he's what? Goofy. He's 100% goofy and 100% secure. And here's the amazing thing about you boys and girls and about me. You're like 10% insecure, 10% goofy, but sometimes you feel 100% insecure. Goofy's like all goofy, everything he does. But when he's hanging out with Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck, he's totally secure about what he's doing, right? He's confident. He walks into a room, he's like, I know what's going on. But you and me, we're a little bit goofy. Hey, by the way, boys and girls, look up here. Can I tell you something? You are a little goofy. Did you know that? Has it ever occurred to you that your parents are a little bit, or your grandparents a little bit goofy? Have you ever noticed that? Heads are nodding faster now. You know what, my daughters, we have four daughters, and throughout their lives, they've always been worried about me, that I was a little goofy, especially around their friends. They're like, don't be goofy, Dad. Dad, don't do that thing that you, I'm like, what's the thing that I do? I was so goofy, I didn't even know I was goofy. But they kindly pointed it out to me so many times. I was like, oh, that thing. You know, right? You're thinking about this right now. But the thing is, I want to be more like him and less like me. I want to be as secure as he is, not as goofy as he is, but secure. But everybody's a little bit goofy. And there's a man in the Bible who knew he felt so goofy. God asked him to do something. God said to a guy named Moses, he said, I want you to go talk to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let the children of Israel go, because all of Moses' people, the Israelites, were enslaved in Egypt. Now, boys and girls, would you look up here for just a minute? Earlier in the prayer time, Pastor Barbara said, 400 years ago, on the shores of Virginia, the first enslaved people landed. And what Moses is being asked by God would be like God saying to one of those first enslaved people, I want you to go to the governor of Virginia in the colony of Virginia. I want you to go to the governor, and I want you to tell the governor, set all of these people free and never allow slavery to take place in the United States. And I got to tell you, if God would have asked that of any of those enslaved people, they would have felt very insecure. Because here's the thing. Anytime God asks you to do something like this, it's going to make you feel insecure, like the first week of school may make you feel insecure, or starting anything new. But there's a blank there in your bulletin that's in front of you. I'm going to give you the first one. Are you ready? The first blank is this. God calls us out. God calls us out. That's the first blank. God uses people like you to do great things. And God uses people like everybody else who's in the sanctuary to do great things. God calls us out. Now, here's a problem Moses has. Moses looks at God, at the Lord, and Moses says, hey, God, what if they don't listen to me? What if they don't even believe we had this conversation? See, here God has appeared in a burning bush, and God's speaking, and Moses is there, and we can just picture Moses there, and he's holding his staff, and he's shaking, and he goes, what if they don't believe me? He's insecure. That's how we all feel. We all feel a little bit insecure. And that's the thing that we've got to think about, and there are two truths that I want you to get this morning, and the first one is this. God already knows that you're not perfect, but thinks you're terrific. God already knows you're not perfect, but thinks you're terrific. Now, can I ask you to do a big thing? Can I ask you to come stand right there with that shirt? Just the pink shirt. You thought I was calling everybody up here. Come on up. Now, I want you to see this shirt. Turn around. Can you put your hands up like this? What's the shirt say?
Awesome.
This is a young lady whose parents are trying to teach her something really important about herself. Now, is she perfect?
No.
Wow, some of you said that kind of loud. Are you perfect?
No.
No, you know what? I'm really glad you know that. See, the thing is, if you think you're perfect, that's when you know you've got a problem. That's the outlier. That's the thing that's not right, is when somebody goes, hey, I'm perfect. That's weird. When you know that you're not perfect, that's when you're normal, but being imperfect makes you feel a little bit insecure sometimes, I bet it does me. But while she's imperfect, she's also what?
Awesome.
Awesome. Now, I use the word terrific, but then you wore the shirt. I'm using your word now. God knows you're not perfect, but already thinks that you're what?
Awesome.
It takes courage to stand up in front of a bunch of people. Would you just give her a hand? Thank you very much. I wish I had an awesome shirt for all of you. But you know what? If I gave an awesome shirt to everybody who was here this morning, do you know what some of you would do? You'd put three letters right in front of it. N-O-T. Because some of you, the hardest thing that I will have to do as your pastor is to teach you the biblical truth that God believes that you are somebody and that you're terrific. And there is, for some reason, it is hard for some people to just believe that God loves you the way you are, that you've been made in God's image, that you're already enough, that you're already more than you're going to need to be, because you've been made and you're the son or the daughter of God. That's what the Apostle Paul says. That's what you are. He reemphasizes it that way. And the second thing I want you to know is this. God does so, by the way, boys and girls, your second blank. What do you think the word is on the second blank? God blanks us as we are. What do you think that second word is? What do you think it is? Oh, I like loves. I was going to say accepts, but I'm going to use your word. It's better. You're rewriting the sermon. God loves us as we are. I was going to say God accepts us, but loves is better because love is an active verb. God loves us as we are. Let's use that. And here's something else I want you to know. God does great things through imperfect people. Do you know why God does great things through imperfect people? Anybody? That's all God's got. I mean, the Lord would love to do it in a different way and use the perfect people to do perfect things, but God doesn't have any perfect people, and the Lord already knows it. And so God does this wonderful thing for Moses. Hey, remember when I told you when the Lord spoke to Moses out of the burning bush? Moses is holding a staff, and I think he's shaken. I think he's just like, I don't want to do this. And the Lord and Moses says, but God, what if they don't listen to me? What if Pharaoh's like the most powerful man in the world? And Moses hears God say this. Hey, Moses, throw your staff, the stick you're carrying, throw it on the ground. And boys and girls, when he throws it on the ground, you know what it becomes?
Snake.
Whoa, you already knew that. You were listening. Yeah, throw it on the ground, and it becomes a snake. And then the Lord says, now pick it up by the tail. I don't know if I could have done that. I might have just been, maybe we'll just let it go, you know. I'll get another stick. But he says, pick it up by the tail, and he grabs it by the tail, and as soon as he grabs it by the tail, it turns back into a stick. And then God says, hey, put your hand in your robe. Do like this, like you're wearing a robe. Just do like that. Just pretend. Yeah. Now, he goes, pull it out. And when he pulls it out, it's white, and it's got a disease called leprosy, which is not a good disease to have. And that would have made the Pharaoh very fearful. That's what God was trying to do, was give Pharaoh a sense of fear, because there's one thing. See, Pharaoh actually thinks he's perfect. That's the difference between Pharaoh and everybody else. Pharaoh thinks he's perfect, so he says, hey, Moses, show him your leprous hand. And then he says, put it back in your robe. Now, put your hand back in your robe. Now, pull it out again. And it's normal. And the Lord says, do that a couple times, and it'll freak him out. And so here's what I want you to know. You're not perfect, but God's going to give you ways to do the things that you need to do that God's asking you to do. Now, Moses, he heard the Lord speak in a burning bush. Most of us are not going to get a burning bush. I wish we got a burning bush. I mean, I really do. I wish God would speak to me with a bullhorn or just shake me. You know, wouldn't that be great if the Lord was just like, hey, Tom? But usually when God asks me to do something, it's more with a whisper. It's gentle. It's not like, hey, I'm going to shake it. It's not like that at all. When the Lord speaks to us, it's usually like this. Look, hey, I want you to do this. Hey. It's like that. I'll give you an example. This week, some of you are going to get on the school bus this week. Some of the kids out here, you're going to feel insecure. That's just normal. You're getting on the school bus, or mom's dad's dropping you off in front of the school, whoever takes you in, and you're going to feel a little insecure. But listen, when you get to school, like most of you have lived here most of your lives, there are going to be kids showing up that the first day at school is also when they just moved into this community. And some of them aren't going to have it as good as you've got it. Like you're already going to know, you're going to run over and like two or three friends are already going to be there. But you know what? They're going to walk in and they've got no friends. And you know what the Lord's going to do? The Lord's going to walk over to you and do this. Hey, go meet that person because they don't know anybody. And you know what you're going to think? You're going to go, I can't do it, Lord. I don't know, you look pretty confident, so you probably go, okay, I'll do it. But the point is, some people are going to say, I can't do it. But friends, what I want you to do is I want you to realize the thing that God is asking you to do, you already have the ability to do it, or God wouldn't be asking you. So Moses, as soon as he's asked to do something, he says, I can't do it. I can't do it. So look at this, the next scripture passage. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant. I've never been eloquent. Because God's asking him to speak. Do you know what eloquent means? It means you speak well. You speak well. Moses is saying, I'm not eloquent. And you know what the Lord's thinking right now? God's thinking, yes, you are. If you weren't eloquent, you wouldn't know the word eloquent. You're already eloquent. If you know what eloquent means, you're a good talker. Already. And some of you, yeah, see, you know the word too. So sometimes this week, I bet the Lord's just going to give you that little brush, that little push, and you're going to think to yourself, I can't do that, God. And here's what I want you to know. It's already in you. Now, your parents right now are thinking about things that they feel insecure about, things that they don't feel like they can do. And the same truth that's here for Moses and all the children in the sanctuary is true for your life too. You've already got it in you. Moses offers a second excuse. Look at this one. Oh, no, this is what God says. I love this. This is what the Lord says back to Moses. He says, I can't do it. I'm not eloquent. And God says, who do you think gave human beings their mouths? I did. I'll help you speak and teach you what to say. So everything that you need, God has already put inside, and what's not inside, God's still going to give it to you. But Moses, he's got another reason he shouldn't do it. Moses says this, look at the next verse. Pardon your servant, Lord. Read this with me. Everybody who can read this with me. 1, 2, 3. Please send someone else. Now, all the kids in the sanctuary, I want you to look around. I want you to pivot your head and look around. And I want to ask everybody in the sanctuary, have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever said, please send someone else, God? Raise your hand if you've ever prayed that prayer. Right? Now keep them up. Boys and girls, I want you to notice that most of the adults in the sanctuary, not all, but most, are saying, I've prayed that prayer before. It is the truth that God will always ask you to do things that will stretch you, that'll pull you into being more than you are. And so what I want you to know is this last blank, God works with you. God works with us to fulfill kingdom purposes. And what we mean by that is there are good things that God wants you to do, and the Lord knows you can do them, and that's why you're getting the gentle push to do it. That's why people are coming to you where you work. That's why in your home, you're having a sense, somebody's got to solve this problem in our home, and God is asking you to be the adult to do the work. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Wasn't easy for Moses. Hey, can I borrow somebody's Bible? Can I borrow your Bible since you're right on the front row? Hey, you know what, in this book? This book is not full of perfect people who did what God asked perfectly. This book is full of imperfect, insecure people who had faith enough to believe that God would work through them. That's why we want you to read this. I don't want you to read about perfect people in the Bible. You can't find them. The people you're going to meet here, people like Deborah, people like David, people like Paul, people like Mary, people, just all these people in the Bible, they were imperfect people that God used because God knew they could do the things they were being asked to do. And Moses says, oh my goodness, I can't do this. I'm not eloquent. Please send someone else. And finally, the Lord's just had it a little bit too much. And the Lord looks at Moses and said, and Moses hears it. And the Lord goes, fine. Take your brother Aaron with you. He talks all the time. He loves to talk. Take him with you. And what's interesting is if you read the story of Moses in the scripture, the first time that they go to the Pharaoh, Aaron says a couple words, and Moses talks from there on out. Moses thought he couldn't, but once he got into the scene, into the setting, found out that he could, and that's exactly what you're going to discover. We always feel insecure when we start a new thing. But the shirt says, we're awesome. And the Bible says, you've got these strengths in you. You've got these gifts in you. You've got these abilities. They're already there. But sometimes God will send you a little help. So I may have told you a story. When I was in the sixth grade, I started, I was just a mess in the sixth grade. That was the year we moved into middle school, where I grew up. And the first thing they did is they put us into a school with no walls. Boys and girls, can you imagine being in a school with no walls? It was an experiment they did on children to make them crazy. And so that didn't work well for me. I don't blame the sixth grade on the no walls, but that was certainly a part of the equation because I was looking at everything except what I was supposed to be looking at. And it was just more fun to listen in on other people's classes than the one I was in. And my grades started going down, and my behavior started getting worse, and teachers started calling my parents, and they're like, he's not mean, but he's very disruptive. And I was becoming not just a problem to myself, but a problem to other people. And so finally, my parents realized that the two places I was really struggling were in math, and then later they figured out English. And I had done, prior to that, I'd done pretty well in both those classes, but something about the sixth grade. And my parents said, hey, it's okay, we're going to get you a tutor. And I said, I don't need a tutor. Other kids don't have tutors. Why do I need a tutor? I had all these reasons why I shouldn't have a tutor. And my mother especially was very clear. She said, I don't care. You're going to get this tutor, which was the exact right thing she should have done. And the tutor's name was Mrs. Duvall. But later she got married, and her name was Mrs. White. And Mrs. Duvall tutored me in the sixth and seventh grade, 2 years, two different topics. And I'll tell you, she taught me a lot about math, and she taught me a lot about English. She taught me how to structure a sentence properly. But you know the thing she taught me most of all? I would complain and say, I can't do this, I can't get this. And she would look at me and she'd say, yes, you can. You're avoiding the work. We're going to do this. And then she would say the same thing every time. She'd look at me and she'd go, I've already checked the file and you're already smart. You're already smart, Tom. She called me Tommy. That's what people called me back then. Tommy, you're already smart. And you know what she was telling me? God had already put in me everything I needed. But I had to believe in me the way she believed in me. And then I could learn everything I needed to do. That's what your whole school year is going to be about. Your teachers are going to teach you that everything you need is already inside and that God's going to use you to do great things. This week, can I ask you all, raise your hand if you're going to school this week. Anybody? Any age if you're going to school this week. Not the teachers, but the students. Can I ask you all to do one important thing beyond going to class and being a good student, whether you're at home or whether you're in school? Some of you are homeschooled, and that's great too. Would you be kind to people around you? There are going to be students who are starting for the very first time, who are new to what you're doing and your school, and would you please be kind to those students? And some of you are going to have brand new teachers. Can I ask you to do something? Be kind to your teachers. Amen? But God's going to get you to do all the stuff you need to do. Amen and amen.